Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Hey, we're back. We're extra black today. We're brown and be I'm like waiting for Mandy to jump, and she's looking at me like, where are we going with this?
No, because I was just sitting here kind of like, I'm still buzzing from our conversation with today's guest. Y'all, I think I might have had, you know how Tiffany always says that Christina and Iman were like her life-changing episode of Brown Ambition? I feel like Terry was my life-changing episode of Brown Ambition. I have so much work to do, but she truly has inspired me to actually now... She has helped me see, I know stuff about trading. I know some things. Okay. I'm ready to take it to the next level. And I feel like Terry just was so, I don't know, Tiff, she's so calm.
Yes.
And she is so the antithesis of anything I've ever thought or seen when it comes to people who trade.
Yep.
Like, I didn't know people like Terry existed.
She just calm, seems so normal. She's kind. She's knowledgeable. I just think you guys are going to like love, when I say love this interview, it's the type of interview that you're going to want to share. You know how we always like, make sure you share with your friends, make sure you share in group chat. We're not even going to have to say all that because you're going to want to, because it is transformative. Make sure you listen to the end because we are partnering with Terry to do something really fun with our BA listeners. Child, it's going to be transformative for the lives of some of our BA listeners. And I think it's just going to be super exciting.
Awesome. And did we even say who we're talking to today? We're just like,
oh, yeah, girl. Terry. No, we did it.
Terry Gioma. Is that how you pronounce it? Terry Gioma. She is the founder of Trade and Travel. Mm-hmm. And listen, everything you need to know is in the name. Mm-hmm. This woman has become a multimillionaire just in the past few years, right?
Yep.
Not only has she been trading her way to wealth, but she has been teaching in such a wonderful way. I mean, she has had the number one course on Teachable.
She still does, how much girl.
Still does the Girl. Number one course yes. on Teachable. Like how many courses are there? She has taught hundreds of students from around the world how to earn supplementary income with trading. They're living their best life. And with Terry's course, hopefully so can you. But we got some free advice from her today.
Yes.
And kind of learn more about her investing philosophy. Mm-hmm. And I think the best thing that I learned from Terry was how small you can start with and how you don't necessarily need tens and tens of thousands of dollars to make a little bit of money that can truly change. It can certainly help you reach your goals and ultimately maybe even change your life.
Yeah. I'm just excited for you guys to hear because it's a departure from, you know, like the bro culture sometimes that investing can be. So to hear from this amazing woman that's literally kicking ass and taking names. I would say that Terry's not. She's so Christian. So she's not going to say ass like me.
Booties.
Kicking booty and taking names.
Saving lives with the money that she's earning.
Oh my gosh. She's just amazing. So I just cannot wait. So without further ado, we've got my fave Nigerian trader. She's here. We've got Terry with Terry from Trade and Travel. If you don't know Terry, I'm sure you've seen folks holding up plaques that they've been able to trade to make $1,000 in a day. That's one of her goals that she has for her students. And Terry is amazing. I decided when I took my 6 weeks off, it's one of the things that I did with my time that I invested in the course. I called you, Mandy. Remember, I was like, Mandy, I'm going to be a bajillionaire. Remember? I was like, I'm learning to trade.
Aren't you supposed to be on vacation? But okay.
I know.
I'm on board.
And so, it's what I really love about Terry is that... not only is she like a dope sister who's teaching stuff to everyone that we might not normally have access to, I also love that prior to this, like myself, she was an educator. So when I took her course, I could see it and I could feel it. And I was just like, oh, this is from someone who understands the learning process of adults, you know, because I didn't feel overwhelmed. So welcome, Terry.
Hey, Tiffany and Mandy, how are you?
We're doing great. It's so nice to meet you. I do feel like Tiffany is one of your many fans who I have just, but I've been hearing them rave about you, and I started following you on IG, and I love, you just seem so positive and you make it seem so possible. You're like just casually, yeah, I made 100 grand today. I'm just going to go to McDonald's now and grab some dinner for the family. I just made that up. I don't know if you actually eat McDonald's, but.
I do like McDonald's. Their chicken sandwiches are on point. I mean, the nuggets, yeah. I'm not quite sure that's real meat, but the sandwiches.
Absolutely, it's not, you know, but yet delicious. What I'm dying to know, how did you get into trading? So I think you and Tiffany have this in common. You both have a background in education. Is that right? Tell me about pre-bajillionaire status, trading every day, not all day, because you've somehow managed to still have a life, which really goes against the image I had in my head. You know, you try to tell yourself a story so that you talk yourself out of something. Mm-hmm. I'm like, trading's not for me. I don't want to be tied to a computer all day. I don't want to like not see my family and be stressed out all the time. But you're doing it in this phenomenal way where it still seems like you have all your marbles and you're able to have this fun, whole, you know, life. So I'm excited to hear about that. But let's start at the beginning. Where did you, how did you get your start in trading, and what were you doing before that?
You know what's crazy? I actually learned about trading in high school. I did this program called LEAD, and it's where they like take kids who are doing really well in school and they put them into business school. So I went to Northwestern University and they showed us how to trade stocks. Well, actually, they showed us all kind of business stuff. Before that, I wanted to be an architect, and then they took us to the business school and they were like, okay, guys, these are all the things you can do in business. And they took us to the Chicago Stock Exchange. So that was really my first introduction.
What? No one ever says that about school. I built the paper rocket in school. That was the highlight. That's amazing.
You know what's crazy though? Like my senior year, Google had their IPO. So if you can imagine, Google was just coming out. It was $83 a share. And I had just heard in this like summer program about stocks and trading. So I went to like every teacher, I went to my grandmother. She was like, girl, we ain't got no money. I don't know what to talk about. But then I went to my teachers and was like, how do I get into this? Nobody knew anything. And it's kind of cool because now full circle, I'm teaching people. And I'm like, if I had known what to do, I'd be so much further ahead now. $83, now it's over $2,000. Or it goes kind of back and forth. But like, gosh, like how much different could my life have been? But then again, like what if my teachers had known what to tell me when I went to them interested and trying to do something different and trying to improve my life? What if they knew like, oh, the first thing you do is open a brokerage account. Okay, you don't have that much money, but $83, Tracy, or my name is Terry Latrice, so that's what my teachers would have called me back then in high school. But they would have been like, okay, if you keep your job at JCPenney, because I was a JCPenney's girl. I worked at the watch counter. Oh, if you keep your job, you can take, I know, right? You can take that income and just put it into a brokerage account. Like, what if they knew how to tell me that? But they didn't. Mm. And I ended up going to MIT for undergrad because I still wanted to know.
Smarty-arty. Majored in. Just like, you know, let's go to the pause. She just slipped that in, MIT for
went
undergrad.
To MIT.
Like, what girl.
What did you study at MIT?
Management. I was going to manage all the engineers.
Got it.
Yeah.
Bless your heart.
They were like, nobody knows that MIT has business school. They always think it's just for engineering because engineering is number one. But at the time, we were number two for management too. Mm. But nobody like really talked about that. But yep, went to Sloan for undergrad, interned on Wall Street at Morgan Stanley. And that's how I learned more about stocks. But I'm like you, Mandy, when you were like, I don't want to, you know, like everybody sees finance and they're like, I just don't want to do that. Like it's so negative and bad. But the thing is, like, I thought that way too. Like after the internship, they were like, Terry, do you really want to work here? And I was like, you know, this is of the devil. I'm about to go do something else. Like I literally said that in my final interview and that was not the right thing to say.
Oh,
like,
no.
Wait, not at all.
What about it was of the, first of all, I love that expression. yes. What about it was so bad? What was turning you off?
you know what? The honest truth was the actual job was good. So the whole sentence that I told them was, I used to think that this was from the devil, but now I like it and want to work here. They didn't hear the second part of the sentence. Like clearly they didn't hear that part. They just heard the first part. But I think it's like, it's a mindset thing. Like in our households, we're not taught that money is good. We're taught that money is bad. And we're taught that like, you don't want to work in a building for 24 hours a day. And it's, you're never going to have a life. Like, you know, we hear all these things about Wall Street. So that's where that thought had come from. It was really just like a concept in my head. It wasn't the truth. Mm. It wasn't the truth at all.
So what in that interview was, so were you wanting a career at that point, or were you just like ready to, you know, just say, you know, this is not for me. Thank y'all very much. I'm moving on.
I'm Nigerian. So of course I wanted the offer, but I already had in mind that I was going to go into consulting. Okay. Like I wanted them to be like, yes, I will give you millions of dollars. And I wanted to be able to be like, nah, that's okay. I already got this job in consulting. And like literally that's what I did. Like I had a job in consulting at Monitor Group, and that's where I was helping businesses. And one of our clients was Teach for America. And I went into this long 10-year track in education from that. I worked in consulting and then went over and moved into the administrative side of Teach for America, helping teachers learn how to teach better. I did the operation sides of the teacher trainings in Houston. Shout out to Houston Institute if anybody was in Houston Institute. And then from there, I went to my journey is very weird. I went to seminary after that. Like I worked for TFA for 3.5 years and was like, I'm going to go learn about the Bible. I've always wanted to do something fun. And then worked for a ministry and then came and was an assistant principal of an elementary school. And what? In that, yeah, girl.
How old are you? You look to be about 25. And yet you're telling me the life of someone who's had like 55 lifetimes in one. Whoa. Okay.
That's that good Niger skin.
Man. I will take that. I will take that all day. Give me an extra 10, 12 years. Okay. But okay. Yeah, all of that. And then when I was assistant principal, I know this is the longest story, but to tell you, when I became assistant principal, I thought that it was everything I wanted it to be, and it was not. I was stressed all the time. I was crying in the bathroom. I was like literally like dragging to go to work in that building every day because of the administration. And I needed an exit strategy. And for me, I went back to where I had come from 10 years ago, that little hobby that I had of trading stocks, and said, I think that I can make this a real thing. If I could just make $300 a day, I can replace my assistant principal income. And I started working towards that, taking classes, practicing trading every day. And when I got to that $300 a day, I quit and started living my real dream, which was traveling all over the world and trading stocks.
When was that? How long ago was that when you quit?
That was 2017.
Oh, so
not that long ago.
Not that long
2017.
Ago.
Yeah. So were you scared, Terry? You know, like when I made the leap from teacher to budgetista, I was really afraid. And I kind of always had like, I can always go back to becoming a teacher in my back pocket. Low key, I still say that now. But you know, I didn't have a choice in making the leap, but you chose. Were you scared, you know, during that time? Or were you just feeling like, you know what, the world is my oyster and, you know, and I'm just gonna dive straight in.
I wish I could have said that. Girl, I was so scared. I was so scared. Like, I was scared to the point that, like, I knew I needed to have the conversation with my principal when I was quitting, and I hid in my friend's hospital room. I, like, pretended he was my boyfriend, and he was not. I was like, you know what? He's not feeling good, and he's my boyfriend, and I've got to be with him every moment of every day. And my principal's like, but the phone works inside the room. And I was like, no, it doesn't work in here. I didn't say that for real, but really I did. Like, I was so afraid to have the conversation to leave because, like, this was a cushy job. Like, I had worked so hard all year so that the next year was going to be easier. Like, I had done all the things and now I was going to leave and start trading full time. Like, no. And then on top of that, like, I was so afraid because I had said that I wanted to travel, but then like I got scared of that. So I got a lease and I'm a God girl. So like I fully felt that God was telling me you should go travel and you should trade. But I was like, okay, God, how about this? I'll do one of those, but not the other. I will trade, but I'm gonna stay right here close to home. So if anything goes wrong, I can go back to my mom or I can go live with my aunt because I needed a comfort, a blanket, a security blanket. But do y'all know I lived on the 25th floor and that apartment flooded?
Wait, how? Someone's pool leaked? What happened?
So apparently, I found out from the janitor. Apparently, somebody was like cooking drugs two floors above me on the 27th floor. The sprinklers, I know, right? The sprinklers went off, and then something happened where the sprinkler pipe didn't work right, and it flooded just my corner of the building. So all of the units on my corner were flooded out, and I literally had to like give up everything and only had two suitcases left to my name.
Oh, man. Gosh. I mean, you said, we bring God into it? I'm like, that's pretty biblical. That feels like God is like, I need to get out of here.
And that pesky meth, you know, meth strikes again.
Wasn't there a chapter and verse about a meth lab in the Bible? I can't remember the one. I'm kidding.
Great. That one back in the Old Testament. Yep, that one.
Yeah, it's the very Old Testament.
Oh my God.
Okay. Yeah, girl, it was crazy. So for me, that was the, okay, no matter how afraid you are, this has got to be bigger than you. You better go.
How much did you have in the bank when you quit?
Yes.
Do you mind answering that?
So I actually had $35,000 that I had moved over from my old retirement accounts. Okay. So in that, like, remember I told you, like, I had quit this job and then went to this job. Like, I had money left in those old some of them are 403Bs and the 401K. And yeah, I moved those over to self-directed IRA. So I had $35,000 in that account.
Was that all of your retirement money or just, like, the leftover? You put
–
that was just your 401K you cashed out. Wow. Okay. Yeah.
Well, because remember, I didn't tell you guys this, but I had been trading as a side hustle while I was still working in all those education jobs. So I was maxing out my 401k. Like in one job, I was putting in $18,000 a year 1 year because I didn't need the money.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. So I had that like about $18,000, and then each company had matched. Like when I went up to 5%, then the companies had matched that too. So To me, $35,000 felt like a lot of money at the time because I was only making like $60,000. Yeah. So I was like, I got half my income saved up.
Yeah. I guess I was just asking because it sounded like you had no money left. Like you took your only 401k and you were just living off of that money while you quit your job. But you actually had like other retirement accounts and investments on the side that were also sustaining you, right? Or am I getting that wrong?
Great question. It actually was more like I was investing with $35,000 and I might have had some money from insurance. Like after the flood, then I got some insurance money. So I was living off of that and then I had the $35,000 in my retirement.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you decided to invest. I still don't get it. I'm confused.
No,
we can take this out, but I need to understand.
No, yeah. So you had money in your retirement account that you withdraw instead of rolling it over to another retirement account. Correct, Terry?
Yes. I had first put it into a self-directed IRA and then moved it from the IRA to cash account.
Because you said, you know what? I can do better with my money than my retirement account can do with my money. But you had other money that you had saved that you were actually living off of.
Yes, but not a lot. To tell you guys the truth, I didn't have just a whole bunch of other money. This was definitely a faith move.
So you were like dangerously. Girl, right? That's why Mandy's like, wait a minute. You was just out here like, hope these trades work.
I'm waiting for the part where you said you had saved $200,000. No, I'm kidding. But no, so you took that $35K and you were like, this is my trading money. Let's make some magic happen. Because up until that point, how much had you been working with in terms of your trading? Like how much were you trading at a given time?
Still, that same $30,000. So the goal was, I have $30,000. I'm trying to make 1% of it on a regular basis. That's $300. And I would keep that base amount and then live off of the money that I make.
Okay, so you had been using that for some time. It wasn't like you left your job and you had already been using that money to trade with to make your $200, $300 a month. And once you were like, okay, I'm really here, let's rock and roll and just do this full time.
Yes.
Gotcha. Okay. So from that 300 goal, You then leveled it up to $1,000 a day?
Yes, as I've been, as I was trading. So it stayed at 300 until I'm like,
that's a realistic number in my mind. I'm liking the 300. I feel like people, you know, you haven't lost me yet. Like, that sounds possible. It's very like, it wasn't like some, you know, like incredibly, you know, high goal to start with, you know, like you really, it felt, it feels to me like you were starting at like a reasonable pace.
Yeah, I tell my students to try to make like 1% of your cash amount. And that's doable. When you think about a lot of traders, they'll give you the extravagant, like, I want to go for the Maserati. I want to make $1 million. No, no. Just do 1% of your cash amount. And there's 5 trading days in a week. So that's 5% return a week if you can be consistent. Now, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. So like, this is a goal and an average. It's not like I have to make this every day, but it's a goal. And even if you do that, like, just say you did that 5 times a month, that's still 5% a month. That's 20% in 4 months. Now, our goal is 20% a month, but you don't have to work that hard. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah. You're such a teacher. I was like, oh, this is how she checked for understanding.
She slowed it all right down for me.
And then she checked for understanding. Does that make sense? I was like, oh, she's Sarah's like, such a teacher. I love
Miss Woodruff. Miss Woodruff, are you following?
No, and honestly, that's such a realistic goal. And I'm glad you shared that, because I think, I mean, Mandy and I have definitely seen, I'm sure you have too, Terry, that, you know, as a result of like economic uncertainty, quarantine, pandemic, everyone has been racing to trading. I never heard this many people, regular people, talk about trading the way they are now. But everyone's thinking that they're going to get like the Maserati and the mansion and whatever right away. So to hear you give a realistic explanation of returns, it's good. I think people can say, okay, one, I can do it. Two, and two, that doesn't seem so crazy, 1% a day, you know?
Yeah. And I think people need to put it in perspective. The average return for like a longer term investor is 8 to 10% a year.
Yeah.
So for me to say, try to aim for 1% on a regular basis, like even if you do that 8 times within a year, you've met the average. Now, if you can do it a few more times than that, you're beating the average. So when people say, oh, you know, I'm going to start with 2000 and make 40,000, like that doesn't even make sense. Making the first 2,000 would be 100% return when the average is 8 to 10%. So don't go for 100% return. Go for small bite-sized returns that you can, you know, add up over time.
So when you are someone, I imagine a lot of the students in your class, which has been incredibly, I think you have it's on Teachable. It was like the number one class on Teachable or something. Congratulations. That's amazing. Thank you. So I bet a lot of your students probably are wondering, you know, how much of my money should I be trading with? You have, and what's your advice to them, especially if they may have other obligations, you know, mortgage, or they have other goals or a retirement and maybe some student loan debt? How do you help them figure out where to start and how much to start with?
Yeah, trading is a skill set. So let me start there. It's something that you need to grow to become better at. So when you're first starting, I think you should start with just enough to open a brokerage account and then trade with a simulator, which is fake money, until you become good. So I'd say start there. You don't have to put all your money in. I have one person, she reached out to me. She's like, Terry, I got $45,000. I'm ready to invest. Where do I put it? I was like, girl, you know what? You leave it right there for a minute. And I'm gonna ask you to take just 500 of it. And let's start there first. Then, I know, right? She's like, really? I'm like, yes, because it's a skill set. Like, you got to get good at it first. Then from there, after you see that, okay, I'm learning trade and travel, I'm learning Terry's method with investment Terry method, then go to 2,000. At $2,000, one of the things that we work with is things called margin account, and that can be very risky, I understand. But at $2,000, you can open that kind of account and have access to more tools from a broker. So $2,000 is the next goal. And then you're trying to still make just that 1% return. So you're trying to make $20 on a regular basis. If you can get good and be consistent, that means you're making $100 a week, $400 extra a month, which I will say with smaller amounts like 2000 is a little more challenging, but doable. After that, once you're saying, okay, Terry, I think I'm getting good at this, I'm seeing my 1% return on a regular basis, then you can start putting more money in your account. And that'll be up to you depending on what your goals are. Does that make sense?
No, it does. I love that. So my sister, Carol, is she's like our resident investor. But honestly, for the last like a year and a half, she was using the simulator accounts because she was so nervous and scared, even though she's been like investing since like college. I remember when she was telling us about this new company called Tesla. And I was like, girl, what are you talking about? Electronic cars? Sounds crazy to me. And she's like, well, I'm putting $1,500 in. And I think at the time, Terry, it was like $30 a share. And then it went up to like 60 or 100. And she's like, you should do it now, Tiffany. I was like, nope, not me. And then, and now we all know the end of that story. And I look back and I'm like, why didn't you tell me more? She's like, girl, I told you. And I remember her coming to like Thanksgiving and saying like, hey, because she's an engineer. So she was really excited about like, you know, the advent of like, you know, and a viable electronic car. And like, so it really was her field. And she's a mechanical engineer. So yeah, so she really wanted to get into trading, but she was nervous. And she, so she's been doing a simulator for a year and a half. And so finally she, over the last couple of months, she jumped into like actually trading with her real money. And, but she's like one of these super, super nervous Nellies, but she, as a, her engineering job, she was let go during the pandemic because they just, you know, they just could not afford to keep really anyone. And she's like, you know what? She's got two little kids. They're 6 and 4. And she's like, I actually don't want to go back to work. You know, like I want to be home. And so now, because she's like a really good saver, all of us really are. Well, except for Lisa. Boo on you. Lisa's the baby. And
I ain't going to call out Lisa.
Right.
Useless. Big Lisa. Sister. That's what we call her. Useless. That's very Nigerian to say. Yeah, useless. People are like, oh my God. Like, oh no, she's used to it. She's Nigerian.
So that's not the Lisa rule you talk about.
Yeah, I know. So, but I'm really proud of her because to your point, Terry, she's really just like, okay, she took it really slowly. She practiced. She built her skill set. And even now the amount of money that she's investing with is not nearly like all that she has saved. And, you know, like she'll call me every week and be like, oh my God, I made $300. Or oh my God, I lost $200. You know? And so like, I'm really proud of her. And I really can see herself in the next 6 months to a year really rocking and rolling. And so I'm praying that she doesn't have to go back to work, but it can really be so life-changing. Can you share with us like some of like the amazing, like life-changing stories of people that you've helped with your trade and travel course and how, you know, they were able to just live a different life as a result?
Yes. It's so good when you have a goal too. I think that makes it so much better. So like I have one student, Crystal, and her goal was to renovate her kitchen. And her husband told her, like, well, this is all the money you're going to get. Like, you either use this to renovate the kitchen or whatever. And so she said, well, Terry, I decided that I was going to trade with the money to make the money to renovate the kitchen. So she actually had, I think her kitchen was going to cost her about $30,000. So I will say you can start making like bigger returns when you get to that $20,000 to $30,000 range. Mm-hmm. I wanted people to know that because some people are going to say, well, can I make $1,000 a day with $5,000? It'll be a little tougher. You can, but it's tougher. But she had about, I think she said $30,000 that she was going to use for the kitchen renovation. She put it into an account and she actually traded within 6 months and made the same amount of money for her kitchen. So she used the money she traded with to renovate the kitchen. And then she has the money in her account still to like trading. Do another project. Yes.
I love
so. So cool. And then I have another student. She actually like paid off all her debt. Like I paid off my student loans, but like when my students do it, that's more important. Like she paid off $100,000 of student loan debt with trading. Yes. What?
That's amazing. And life transforming. Like
not just so waiting around for debt forgiveness.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Then there's smaller goals. Like those are big ones, but some of the smaller goals is I have one student, he just wants to pay off his car note so that he can have whatever car he wants and not have to worry about his wife telling him no. And so like he pays $374 is his payment, his car payment every month, and he just makes enough trading to pay for the car. And then I have a couple other students, like one of them, she's getting chemo treatment. And so she's been actually trading while she's in the hospital. So she's like, it keeps my brain moving. It keeps me energized and motivated. So it's small things. It's learning a new skill. It's making sure that you're taking care of little things so that your wife doesn't have to worry about it. Mm-hmm. Or even just like bigger things like paying off debt. Mm-hmm. So it's been really cool.
I know when Tiffany mentioned, you know, your sister coming and talking about Tesla, for me, and then Terry, what you said about having a goal in mind, I feel like for me, what's really, what can be stressful is when you're kind of caught, whether it's on social media. Just yesterday, there was an investing influencer that I follow, and he was kind of taking a dump on one of the ETFs that I had bought last year, which I'm doing fine in, thank you very much. But he was like, oh, this ETF is not performing. I told y'all, ha ha ha. And I feel like those comments from friends or social media, they make you feel like, oh, am I missing out on something, or do I not know something? And for me, what I feel like I'm personally missing with my, because I do trade, we have about $10,000. Well, we started with like $5,000 and now it's up to like 14. And I feel like what I'm kind of missing, well, thanks. What we're kind of missing is like a strategy. So I hold myself back. I don't really know what my strategy is, other than like, oh, this sounds pretty good. Or also, I like Peloton, so let me get some stock. Or people are using technology, so I'm going to get that technology ETF. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So strategy wise, how do you help people figure out the strategy? And what's like a simple way, an entry point to stock trading?
Yeah, so I think it's really important to have a trading plan. That's where your strategy comes in. And then my strategy includes like, it's four big pieces, but then like I can even go a little further for the more advanced. But the first thing is you got to have some criteria around what stocks you're choosing. Mm-hmm. And when you have, like, each person may have some different criteria, but part of mine is I'm looking for healthy companies. I'm not a penny stock girl. I'm not like a skeptical, oh, I heard somebody say this in the bathroom and I'm just going to like pick that up. Like, no, the companies that I'm trading are the same ones. I don't see y'all laughing, but it's like,
not the bathroom.
Hey, girl. But sometimes you do hear the random people or the beauty shop and you're like, oh, maybe I should try that one. No, like there's some set criteria around how to pick the right company. Then you have to have some criteria around when do you take money off the table? Like, what's your risk management plan? And for me, that includes, how am I calculating my reward to risk ratio? How am I calculating how many shares that I take, my quantity size? How am I calculating even when I take the trade? Like, your entry point makes so much difference. And so that's like another part of my plan. I'm looking at charts to determine my entry point. And that's going to be, as people think about their strategy, like, when do you enter a trade? If I get into Apple at $130 and you get into Apple at $150, we're both in Apple, but I got in at a better time. So I'm using charts to figure that out, right? And then we're figuring out, so then I have the whole little trading plan, but like, when do you exit a trade? Are you a long-term trader that never exits because you just believe so much in this company? Or are you exiting when you see a certain thing happen in the chart? Or are you exiting when you hit a goal? There's like a whole exit strategy. So I personally have a 7-step strategy, but those are some important parts that are included or should be included in your plan.
So that 7-step strategy, you can find out by getting your course, I imagine, right? Train and travel.
Girl, yes. I'm in
yes.
there. Yes. I'm about a C-minus student right about now. But also, ooh, I remember that part. My plan.
But the...
Did you make it to week 4? Because that's when we put it all together in week 4. You
know, I want to say that I'm like at the very beginning of week 4. I was like super gung-ho. And then Mandy was right. I was like, girl, you're supposed to be on vacation.
Life happens, and this is true, because I too was like, Tiff, are you on vacation? I'm so proud of you. And you're like, I'm in the course.
Yes, I know. I was like, you're doing too much, Tiffany.
In the course, is it all simulator, though? Is it fake, like you're playing with fake money to start with?
Actually, it's going to be up to you as a student. Some students are super like, I'm getting in right now. The way I learn is with real money. I, of course, encourage you to start with the fake money first so that you can, you know, learn and become good. But some students jump right in.
Girl, please. You know me. I'm a skinny girl. I'm still simulating.
It's like, time for the simulator. It's time for the simulator.
Get it.
Like, oh, yes. That makes me less scared. I just assumed with a course like that, that you would want people to put in real money. Meanwhile, it's so silly because like I said, like, what was it last week? I didn't realize I had money because I had made money on my trading account through my brokerage. Like, you know, that money I talked about, I think we had $3,000 that we could put back. And it had just been sitting there, just doing nothing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, let me get on up there and go shopping. And yeah. I bought some Apple and I bought some other stuff. And I can't even remember now. I got some solar energies. I'm trying to, I like alternative energies now because, you know, I own a Tesla. So I'm obnoxious that way.
She's like, just drop it in there.
I own a Tesla like, that Tiffany, I never
you
wanted.
You lost money on being Tesla, Tesla stock, but
we over here. Anyway. Literally, on her $1,500, my sister made over $30,000. And that's what she used to pay for her wedding. I was like,
yes.
Stories like that are amazing, but they're, you know, that's why I'm like, Terry, yes, you know. I mean, I think that's lucky, right? But it's hard to teach luck. You know what I mean? Right?
That's, yeah.
True. And that's so that's, I think that it's fun to have a, it's even like, I had thought of my trading money as my play money. But I even think of, it's not so much, I'm not playing with it. I'm like, I invested, we opened that account a year or two ago. We chose our stocks and I was just like, let's ride it, you know, long term. That's how I get out of having to trade. I'm just like, oh, I'm a long term investor. I don't touch it. That's my strategy. Isn't it smart? But in the, it's almost like having play money on top of that to try to like get those, what do you call it? Like exploratory or like you're speculating. Mm-hmm, like you think it's like having even a separate bucket for that, you know, the one off stock if you think it's going to be hot. It just can't happen all the time.
You know, Mandy, I think the big thing, though, is that even when people say that they're long-term investors, they need the skill set to know when is a good time to get back into another stock or get into the same stock again or reinvest. Because like the last couple of weeks, I'm not sure when you guys are going to hear this podcast, but like in the end of September of 2021, like a lot of the tech stocks fell a lot. And that would have been a great time to start reinvesting or getting into some of those stocks that you've been wanting to have. Like I've been following Adobe stock for the longest time, but it was just running. It was way too expensive for me. But in the last month, the end of September, it came down $100.
Wow.
That's a great time to enter the company. It's still a great company. Nothing about the fundamentals of the company has changed. Just the market had brought it down. Even for a long-term investor, like those are the kind of things you need to know from strategy that says, hey, flag, alert, this is the time to invest your money. Because otherwise you'll have just, you know, oh, I got a little extra money. Things are at all-time highs. Let me put it in now instead of a strategy behind it.
Yeah, well, it's funny you mention that because the ETF that I was talking about that this influencer was taking a dump on was a tech one. And I was like, yeah, it's down a lot of tech. It's got, you know, its top major holding is Tesla. And right behind that is another tech company. It's all very tech. And at least I knew enough. I get that. I get when someone is talking about a moment in time for whether it's an ETF, because an ETF is like a stock. I mean, you can trade it like a stock, right? Mm-hmm. So it can go up and down throughout the day, which is different. I was proud that I did check and I was like, how am I doing? But I didn't make any decisions. I didn't decide to dump it because for me, I mean, that is like a long-term goal. And I feel like, are the companies in this, are the companies, do I still believe in them and believe in this fund? And, you know, I stuck with it. But that little jerk, you know, that social media tug, It was definitely giving me a little bit of pause.
Social media just be tearing apart lives, goals, and dreams. But I want to brag on Terry for like a moment because she's being like super humble. So one, so if you guys have like, you know, I have my online school. It's hosted on Thinkific, and Terry hosts her online school on Teachable. She is the very first school on Teachable to cross over the $10 million mark. Right, Terry?
Yeah, actually, I'm the first school to cross the $25 million mark.
What?
You made $25 million.
Yeah. So 10 was in 2020, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then what, 2021? Is that when you made?
Yeah, I crossed 20 million. And then recently Teachable took me out and they were like, yeah, so you're the first one to cross 25 million.
So no, now to be clear, is it 10 million in a year, 25 million in a year, or like combined?
Lifetime. So since 2018. That's when I started teaching. So since 2018.
I gotta ask, you've made several lifetimes. I feel like Thinkific don't be giving us because we crossed over the 20 million mark. I don't be getting taken out to dinner. Thinkific, tap, tap, tap. Where's my my clams and chowder?
You know what? I felt that way with what's the one that gives those plaques? ClickFunnels. I was like, come on, Teachable. I need some like big record label plaques.
Yeah.
And YouTube too. They get like that. Well, yeah, YouTube. Girl, gives the big plaques.
Yes, because I was looking the other day. I was like, okay, we crossed 20. Because
they must be taking a cut.
Girl, right? So one, that's just incredible. 25 million. But it certainly took us longer than it took Terry. She's slaying. But what I really, really, really love, bigger than the earnings component, is I saw the story. You know, I know how much your faith means to you. And I saw the story about how there were some churches in Texas. Remember Texas had those terrible storms, Mandy?
Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, and always, so, but yes.
I know, right?
It seems but like just, always, sadly.
I know. And so I saw that the story about a pastor that was thanking Terry because she donated of her own money $500,000 to churches in Texas. And I was just like, wow. Like for so many people who think that money can be like this like tool for death and destruction and evil, you know? Mm-hmm. But what I really love is that for you, you know, that yes, you make, you know, a bunch of money, but to be able to do something like that must have been so transformative. How did that feel?
Oh man, I absolutely love, like, that's the blessing part of being able to have wealth. Like, you can then bless so many people. Mm-hmm. And like, I know that literally that's what I'm called to do. Like, the reason why I've been able to gain money is so that I could then give it to other ministries and other people doing good in the world. Like, literally, I see myself like, there's this one guy, his name is Joseph in the Bible, and I think he gets put in jail. Like, his whole story is crazy, but at the end of the day, like, family comes to him and he's able to make sure that everybody's fed. And I see myself in that position now. Like, I feel like the Lord has allowed me to have this blessing so that I can help other people when they're in need. And that's been amazing. It's just been incredible.
Right. So are you familiar with a woman named Farnoosh, Terry?
No. Uh-uh.
So Farnoosh is one of me and Mandy's like old school OG financial friends. And I went to a conference once, and she was speaking like on a panel, and she said something that really transformed the way I thought about money, because I'd been scared to make a lot of money because I thought, I don't want to be a bad person. And isn't that what money, when you make too much, what that means? And she said something that was really powerful that speaks back to what you just shared. She said that if everyone doesn't have the ability or the opportunity, I'll say, to achieve great wealth. And if you do, you ought to go for it, because there are children that you will help. There are causes that you will serve as a woman, right? She's like, there are opportunities that you'll pour into that other people will overlook. And so as you grow wealth, you are able to be that person to say, you know what? I want the kids in Detroit to go to college. You know what? I want my village in Nigeria to have fresh water. You know what? These are opportunities. These are, you know, challenges that other people, it won't interest them, you know, but just because it doesn't touch them. And so it's what put the battery in my back to say, go, Tiffany, go. Because, you know, like, I felt guilty about having, now I don't anymore. I'm like, girl, bye. But I did at the moment, you know, and it helped to put the battery in my back to say that one of the tools for great wealth is to be able to help in ways that other people might not be able to. And so I think, you know, when I read that, I was like, I'm going to put that on my vision board, to be able to donate a significant amount of money in that way that's transformative to a community.
Yeah. And I do want to clarify, because sometimes in social media, the numbers are gotten wrong. So I've given over 500,000, but it's to nonprofits and the churches. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to make sure that was clear.
No, but I think that's just amazing. And it just speaks to to who you are as a person, your clarity, Terry and I, Mandy, we chatted, I think I said it on the podcast once, we chatted maybe like a couple of months ago. And I was like, we were talking, this is maybe this is a year ago, but we were talking about like projecting, like, oh, what do I want to make, you know, the next year. And I said, oh, I think maybe 20 million, you know. And Terry was like, I was thinking 50. I was like, wait, what? But you need those kind of conversations, because I limited myself, because I was like, there's no way I can do that. And when Terry was like, well, I mean, I think I can do it, I was like, well, me too. I mean, let me erase my vision board. I, you know, let me put me down for 50 as well, please. And even yes. if I didn't
You know, I didn't make 50 this year, but just not the fact yet. That, you know, not yet, but I do truly believe that I can and I will. But because I look at Terry, she's regular, you know, woman just like me, Nigerian, Black, like kind, fun. Like, you know, like when you meet Terry, you're not, you don't think to yourself like this is someone who's untouchable. And so to have an example of someone who is able to achieve, you know, this level of success just makes it more palatable and real for someone like me. So I just thank you for showing up fully.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. And you know what? The only reason that I can show up is because I've seen other people show up. Like when I seen like you and Danielle Leslie and Rachel Rogers all talk about like your first $1 million months, I was like, oh, that's what we're doing now? Okay, we're doing $1 million months? Cool, let's go. And then it was like, okay, we're doing $10 million years. Okay, got it. That's got it. Let's go. Like, so when you see other people that are doing other things and they have these bigger goals, I think that gives all of us something to aspire to. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, okay, sis, I see you. Good job. Keep shining. Let's go. Okay. Like we need each other to be able to do things that are bigger.
Yes. Big goals.
Hey, BA fam. This episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today. All right, BA fam, y'all know when it comes to financial advice, you have to trust your source. That's why you listen to Brown Ambition, right? And when I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. I've been a longtime fan of NerdWallet. In fact, I almost worked there a couple of times because when it comes to financial experts and writing, they really know how to give you the best reviews of financial products. I honestly wouldn't sign up for a credit card today if I hadn't looked at a review on a site like NerdWallet myself. And honestly, if y'all haven't learned about NerdWallet, you're missing out. And with their help, what could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access, wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms of each credit card issuer apply.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
I mean, obviously, you have such a huge heart, and you said that your faith is really important to you. And I don't think it's that new. I mean, I feel like there's definitely I've read the articles, and I might have written one back in the day. The financial advice that is buried in the Bible, not buried, but it's there. So, can you talk about your faith? And I know you wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, bringing your faith to the table, bringing your full authentic self to the table, because, you know, just as much as your knowledge about the market is a part of who you are, you know, your faith also comes with that. And I'm sure that's what draws some of your audience to you. But yeah, talk a little bit about that and your journey and feeling more comfortable and embracing that side of yourself publicly.
Thank you, Mandy. Thanks for asking me about that. Because so one of the things that I sponsored, as we were talking about, like me sponsoring things, is a nonprofit called Polished. And they help women who are in the workplace in corporate America to be able to talk about their faith. And they just did this really cool conference called Boldly. And I was one of the speakers. And I talked about talking about God in social media. And I think so many times we're afraid to talk about God in social media because we think that, like, if we say God, then we won't have people like us. We won't, you know, we'll lose our followers. Or if we say God, then our growth will be limited or stunted because we won't attract the same audience or we'll turn away people. But one thing I've seen even in myself is when I talk about God, I draw more people to me. I draw the right people. I draw the people who want to hear more about, and maybe it is, they just want to make sure that there's morals and values in finance, but we draw the right people to us when we're really able to be our authentic self. So I'm so thankful that you asked me about that because yeah, it's been an important part of my journey, and I've got to give God all the glory for everything that's happened in my life.
Yeah, I think we're just at this time now where it feels like your one belief in something, it's almost like people can extrapolate a whole identity based on the fact that, you know, you believe in a certain thing or you don't believe in something. It can feel like people just take for granted that you have certain beliefs, that you have certain prejudices because maybe you have faith. And that is certainly not my experience. I totally get what you're saying. It scares people. It's like one of these topics that has become, sadly enough, like as often weaponized as it is used as a tool to help people and lift people up. You know, I think we've seen a lot of, a lot of examples where religion has been used as an excuse to treat people not so great. And at the same time, that's why I'm like, yeah, Terry, if you have a compassionate, you know, wonderful, true, like, you know, version of faith that you can share with the world and show that you can still be a badass and make some money at the same time. Like that to me, let's have more of that. That's yes. Great.
It's true. Cause a lot of times people will say like this whole idea of a Bible and money is a big issue. Cause there's some people with faith that'll say, well, you know, if you're really making a lot of money, well, why don't you do the Christian thing and just give everything for free? Why are you selling anything? And then there's some people that are like, money is the root of all evil. But then there's people like me and I'm like, I'm the woman in the Bible. Like there's this one story where it says that there were women that were following along with Jesus and the disciples, and out of their resources, they were paying for everything. I'm like, I'm that girl. I'm Mary with the alabaster box, and alabaster is expensive, but the one that's like breaking open the alabaster to like anoint God because she had it, but she's giving out of her resources. And I'm hoping that I'm able to encourage more people to do that. Like we're able to build wealth so we can really impact change in the world. Because I think, Tiffany, I've heard you say this before, but like change is made when you have a seat at the table. Yes. And a lot of times you can only get a seat at the table when you have the wealth to be there.
Yep.
So like we're making sure that we're going to get a seat at the table and that we're really able to impact change with our wealth, but also our mindset, because we can raise our hand in those rooms.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I went to Terry. So Terry has like a tour where she has this great new documentary where she shows her move to Puerto Rico. My bad. Puerto Rico.
Different
and,
places.
It was awesome to see like the nervousness, the transition, the change. Her house is absolutely, it's like MTV Cribs time. Some of y'all too young. Let's see.
Wait, you're full time in Puerto Rico? You live there now?
I am. Wow. Yeah.
Her house
is made the move this year.
It's
bought a house?
Yeah.
Insane. Her house is insane. But then I saw that you also hit a milestone aside from moving to Puerto Rico, where you traded and made $1 million in uno día. That's one day for y'all who don't speak no Spanish. You know, we're all bilingual up in here. $1 million in one day. That's crazy.
Could you ever imagine that? Like Terry, a principal, assistant principal Terry sitting there like, you know, it's too much. Like, but like $1 million in one day. So I have a question. To make $1 million in one day trading, how much did you have to trade in order to hit that goal?
Meaning great like, question.
Yeah, what did you have to use?
Yeah, so I've actually done it a couple times now. So the first time, it was about 800,000. So I made over 100% return, but I did have to invest a lot to be there. Yes. So for those people who are like, oh, I want to make it, do know that you have to come to the table with some money to be able to invest. But I was investing in Amazon options and they jumped within one day. Actually, I did a swing trade though, because if you buy it and sell it in one day, that's a day trade. But I bought it and then sold it the next day. Okay. So yeah, so it was a swing trade. It was Amazon options. Loved it. I invested 800,000. I did it again though, and I had only invested 300,000. So this is So same. I did it with Amazon options, but I had better timing. So this is when, as you become a better trader, you start learning. Okay, how does this move? When is the best time to get in? To this, and you're able to have bigger returns with less amounts. So,
Girl, it's awesome. Did y'all hear she just said she used $300,000 to make $1 million? That's like, you know, it's accessible. Oh, Terry, honestly, people I know are foaming at the mouth like, how I get me some of that trade with Terry course? How do they sign up, honestly? And like, what's best practice like when they sign up? Because I know people sign up for things and sometimes they don't take action right away. So share with us, like, how can people sign up? And then what do you suggest? Like, how do they start so they can stick with it?
Yes. So I actually have a free webinar at tradeandtravel.com. So you just type in trade, the whole word, and travel.com. Mm-hmm. And that takes you to the free webinar on how I teach people to make $1,000 in a day. I think that's the best place to start because it teaches you what I teach. You get to see if you like me as a teacher, start there. Mm-hmm. And then I'm not sure if you guys are going to have a link on the podcast, but that might be the best way for them to actually go straight to the course. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then when they're ready, they can click that link and go straight to the course.
Awesome. I love that too. This is how you know like a teacher for real. Because I love to do that too, that it's not about the gotcha, gimme, gimme, gimme. It's like, well, first, take this free class with me because you might not like my teaching style. You might not, you know, you'll learn something enough to be like, you know what? I can continue. I could not. This is why you're doing so well because, you know, like you can easily, I mean, I've seen people hard sell so much, but I always tell my mentees that like, if what you have is good, since you don't have to shove ice cream down my throat. I will eat ice cream. It's yummy. Girl, we love it over here.
I love cookies and cream. I don't know about y'all, but.
Right? Like imagine the hard sell, like girl, get you this cookies and cream. You're like, oh, but when something is really good, allowing people to get like a taste of it to see if it's a fit for them, you know, that speaks volumes about integrity and character and just how good your product is. And I can say as someone who's in it now, just because, you know, I be doing the most, but I was really enjoying myself because I was like, okay, literally there were things that I was like, oh, is that what people have been saying? The way you explained it, I was like, that's what that means. Okay. Yeah, I did the first few weeks. I have like literally have my trading notebook and then I fell off and my sister Kara was like, not me. I'm still here.
who's your trading partner? I feel like everybody has like their trading partner. They're like, oh, you know, Abu is in the class and he made six figures. So I'm about to make six figures. And so is in the class and they made, okay.
You know, I guess Kara, my sister, is my trading partner, although she hasn't taken your class. Although she didn't ask me about it. She was like, how's Terry's class? I said, really good. She said, okay, because she's someone like you who like she takes courses. So she's like, I really want to learn. So she was like, okay, maybe I'll invest in that class next. Because she's like, you know, I want to be able to provide for my family in a way that's, you know, for her, it's not just about, oh, I want a ton of cash. It's I want to be here while they're young to enjoy them at this age and not have to worry about taking care of them. So, no, I'm just so grateful that you're here, Terry, honestly, and just a shining example of what's possible. And I'm so happy because so many people don't want to talk about numbers, especially in our community, because, you know, anybody trying to get got. But also, too, sometimes people see it as like bragging or whatever. And I struggle with sharing numbers, but I share numbers because I want you to see, well, Tiffany is silly and crazy and regular degular. So if her behind can get here, child, it is available to all of us. So I'm so glad that you show up fully. So everyone can see that, like, they too can achieve, you know, what you've achieved with work, obviously, and consistency, but it is possible.
Thank you. And I'm actually so excited for your sister because I feel like she's going to love the course. Like, when somebody's like already been trying to trade and then they take the course, it just accelerates like what they're doing. So I just can't wait to see how she does. That's going to be awesome.
If she becomes richer than me, then I'm going to be like, girl, so all the vacations are on you now.
Y'all can come to Puerto Rico / Mexico.
Yes.
We know that those are not the same places.
I know, just please. It's my own fault. My level of ignorance is terrible.
It's okay.
You got it, Beatrice.
Don't come for us. Don't come for us.
No, I did not. It was not me.
Oh, I wish we had so much more time. I feel like I have a million more questions, but I want to thank you too, because I think I've been looking forward to this conversation. We've had you booked for weeks and weeks, it feels like. And I have really been looking forward to it because I am at that Carol phase. I mean, I haven't made 35 G's on anything I've invested in, but I'm definitely like ready to put in the time to start taking it to the next level. Can I tell y'all my goal so I can speak it to the universe?
Yes, please, please.
My goal is to trade my way to where I can pay my mortgage with my trading income down the line so that we can just like pay this house off. That's my goal.
That's awesome.
And you know what? You make it sound not so crazy.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know if you're afraid to put the number out, but can you put the number out?
So my mortgage is about $3,000 a month. Okay. Yeah. So I know you need a lot of money to get there, but even if it's like an extra $500 toward the mortgage,
Oh, sorry. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
I'll decide later if I want people to know my mortgage payment on the show or not, but you can know it.
Well, but like my thought was like the way to break that down now is like you have $3,000, divide that by 20. That's how many trading days are in a month. And then you say, okay, well, actually, that's only like $150 a day.
Okay.
Yeah. And you have 15.
And I need 15,000 to do that?
Yes.
I'm good at math.
You said you had 15,000. So your 1% actually will get you to being able to make your mortgage payment. And then like your thought would be like, okay, so am I going to try to do this on a daily basis or am I going to swing trade it? So, okay, $150 a day, that's about what, $400 a month? I mean, a week? Am I doing that right? No, I'm a little low.
She's, I don't know. I'm
like, 150 a day, 300 every 2 days, six. So $750 a week. So like you can actually do some swing trades and try to get $750 a week or just $150 a day. Like you can totally do this. I'd love to.
Sounds better than going to Vegas.
Girl, yes. I'm like, Amanda, you should be my trading partner. We should take, I'll start from the beginning. Listen, Terry's course, for real.
I thought you were way ahead of me. If you're just in play money.
No, girl. You know me. I am scaredy pants. Girl, I still have my pinky toe and talk about, ooh, it's hot.
So I've been sneaking. I've been like buying things without telling Enrique because he doesn't really know that we have extra money to invest. And I'm like, buy some more apples.
No, let's like honestly, if you want to check in weekly and take the course, because it does feel like, I always feel like Carol's like way ahead because she's like, you're far behind, bye. I'm like, whatever, because we even started like a WhatsApp and she just be talking and I'm like, I don't know what those words mean. So I would love to start at the beginning for real, because I do have access to like a ton of money. There's times when I make six figures in a month take home and I'm like, I mean, you know, and I just imagine. Like
I can't be talking to y'all making $25 million. I just want to pay my mortgage off.
No, look, the group is going to start with $15K. That's fine.
Because I want to be able to, you know, because I want to be able to say like honestly, one of my goals is I want to be able to pay for my two nieces, Lily and Amelia and Roman. My husband and I have already set aside Alyssa's, my stepdaughter. She's 15. Her college fund is paid for. It's fully funded. Like my house is paid off. I paid off my parents' house. I paid off my student loan debt. But I'm like, the last kind of like thing I really want to do for my family is to pay off like their college funds, like let them be fully funded. And then, you know, so like if I can in the next 5 years to say, because let's just say it's $250,000 per kid, you know, so it's like if I can trade my way to, you know, just under $1 million to in the next three, well, honestly, they're at like six and four and three. So we have plenty of time. You know what I mean? But that would be a goal of mine. But also, too, I want to trade my way to not only funding their college fund. I told you, you before, Mandy, that I want to start adopting kindergarten classrooms in economically challenged neighborhoods to tell parents, if you get them to college, I will get them through college. And to pay, to set aside, like, okay, how much is 10 kids times this amount of money per college? There's a woman who did that already. And like with her, you know, this one classroom, well, I think she's done a 6 or 7 by now over the last 30 years. So she inspired me, and I want to do that, you know? And so how do you get that kind of money? I know I'll get people who will donate money, you know, to that cause, but mm-hmm. how do I provide for those kids in that way? And so, you know, trading, it's the thing like that, you know, I needed like a battery in my back, because I feel like, you know, I make enough, more than enough money for myself, but like to go for more, sometimes you just need that extra push. And so now I'm like, you know, here's my
extra
push.
Reasons why. It's hard for me to look past my own child and my husband. Like the fact that you're thinking of my siblings don't have any kids yet, but I'm like, nieces and nephews, they'll take care of themselves. They got daddies and moms. But no, I mean, true. Thinking beyond yourself and think, you know, I think it's wonderful that you are thinking so big and putting a goal to the number, because otherwise it just feels like the money is, it's like you said, like, what is the money for?
Yeah.
And giving it a purpose.
Yeah, this is really awesome. Terry, thank you so much for being such an amazing guest. Where can people find you? Like, where are you and where can they find you?
Thank you for asking, because girl, these impersonators on Instagram.
I saw.
So many people pretending to be me.
Yes.
So it's at Terry Igioma, but let me spell that for y'all guys, because people spell it wrong. So TeriIgeoma. There's only 2 I's. There's somebody out there with 3. That's not me.
you know, that's my sister's name, Ijama. That's my sister's name.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, it's very common. Good travel. Yes.
Yeah, it means good journey. And so, like, it's meant to be. But, yep. So, that's my name, Terry Ijama. And you can find me on Instagram there or on YouTube or Instagram as well under Trade and Travel. So, find me
or if you're
on
in Puerto
YouTube.
Rico and you just see a happy black woman walking around.
Girl, living her best life. If you, Terry, where can they watch your documentary content real quick? Because they need to see that.
Okay, so subscribe to the YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/tradeandtravel. We'll be launching it there soon. It's not out publicly yet, but subscribe to the YouTube channel.
When y'all see this house, you're going to be like, oh, this is what Harriet Tubman meant.
What, it's not my dingy little Zen Den basement? Okay, fine. Terry, it's been so fun to have you on. I cannot wait for y'all to hear this show. We'll have all your links in the show notes.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Take care. Thank you, Terry.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.